Yeah, Dave had it.
First of all, thanks Mick for inviting us down to do a chair. It's a privilege to be of service tonight, quite synonymous. I haven't got a lot of time here, so I'm just going to try and cram as much as I can in a short space of time here. My life today is changed beyond my wildest dreams. I never believed I could be where I am today, from where I come from. My life, from a young age, I was always very rebellious. You know, didn't want nothing to do with authority. You know, my role models were like criminals. I didn't ever want to work. I just aspired to be like them. You know, so my school years went through quick, a lot of trouble, suspensions, expelling. And then I was on the streets from about 13 years of age. And then just doing what I wanted, when I wanted, no consideration for others, no consideration for people's property. And just wanted to take what I wanted and didn't care who I hurt on the way through all that. These people who I aspire to be like, you know, they was committing like very serious crimes. They sent like the cars, the properties and all the stuff I wanted. So I was probably about 16 years of age when I first started committing armed robberies. And we was going out and, you know, I had no consideration for people's welfare. You know, we went out, got a few quid, partied hard, drunk hard, sniffed hard. Girls, hotels, holidays, all the nice cars at a very early age. You know, and I really did believe that I could do what I want when I want. You know, and I didn't care who got in the way as I was going through that. You know, for 4 or 5 years I was involved in these activities. I absolutely loved it, I got to admit. I really did feel like I landed on my feet and I was where I wanted to be. My wife, my wife-to-be was my girlfriend at the time coming into my life, and you know, I had a nice flat, I had a few quid, had the clothes, the jewellery, all that material, outside stuff, etc, etc. You know, and I just felt I can build on this now. She just got pregnant and we was going on a bit of graft. A couple of days later after this, we just arranged to be married. You know, the honeymoon was, you know, set in Seychelles, and you know, I just thought my life was going to be one, and millionaire lives, big asses, flash cars, and live happily ever after. But it weren't meant to be. I went on a bit of work one morning, you know, and the old bill was waiting, things went right up in the air. You know, I ended up getting shot 5 times and getting 15 years in prison. You know, that I've got to tell you, that was not on the script that day. You know, I thought I'd be back in London a few hours fucking later. You know, so all of a sudden I've realised this is the other side of the crimes I was committing, and when they go wrong, you know, you lose many years of your life. And so the honeymoon in Seychelles didn't happen, and I ended up having my honeymoon on my own in Franklin fucking prison up in Durham. You know, because, you know, we did get married in prison. You know, she wanted to have my name. The baby was born when I was probably about 6 months into a sentence. So I won't bore you with the years of being in prison. You know, some days were good, some days were bad, but just lightly. I mean, I never ever really got into any serious using. It was a sniff a bit of coke, I used to have a drink and you know, do it to the best of my ability. But a few of my friends who I knew when I was younger took heroin, and I was thinking, what the fuck are you taking something for? What fucks you up? Are you stupid? You know, and I never thought I'd ever take it, because you know, I wanted to get a few quid, I wanted nice things. I thought I had a lot of respect, I had my values, I had my principles, and I would never allow myself to take fucking drugs like that. You know, they're made class like. And it came into the prison system when I had a couple of years left in the sentence. And when I look back on it now in hindsight, my life became completely unmanageable within prison. You know, I used up all my resources to keep getting more heroin in prison, for it was a right good bird killer. You know, little did I fucking know, it made my days the longest days I've ever experienced in the fucking nick, you know, especially if you didn't have none. Always waiting for someone to come off a visit with your arse hanging out, you know. It weren't nice. You know, so like, get joeys off 6 or 7 people, knowing full well only ones are going to be paid on canteen day, so you're going to have trouble with 4 or 5 others. But, you know, so what shit happens, you know, I just didn't give a fuck, you know. Just wanted heroin. So them years went by, so I had a little taste of heroin then, and sort of didn't get too involved. I had no understanding of addiction, no understanding what drugs could do and the power of drugs. When I come out from the prison, you know, I had a 9-year-old daughter waiting for me. The only times I've seen her is 2 hours every 2 weeks on a prison visit. I remember the time when I got my first home leave when I had about 6 months left of this sentence. And my wife arranged for my daughter to come home while I was waiting for her. She said there's a surprise indoors, and she thought it was a toy or a box of sweets, I don't know, whatever. Also, her dad's standing there, and she burst into tears, and she said, "I'm dad, I'm crying because I'm so happy. I can't believe my dad's actually home, you know, because I've never been there for a little life." You know, and we had hugs, we had cuddles, and life was great. You know, I started doing the same behaviours. I was getting a few quid and all the materialistic stuff in the home, the wife, the kids, the restaurants, the clubs, all that stuff started again, and I just ran away with it and loved it, you know. And I was dealing a lot in drugs at the time, and I washed a bit of coke up one day, and someone said, "That's what they call cracking that, just to see the quality of some gear." And I said, "Oh, I'll keep that a little bit. I might have a nice little weekend in an hotel." And that's what I've done. But that fucking weekend didn't stop, you know. I suppose it took away my insecurities when I look back on it now, because, you know, that saying then, I could never acknowledge, I had so much sort of pride and so much ego and so much arrogance. You know, I thought I was so special and different. You know, we was a unique little clique and very secretive and very selective. You know, and my head was stuck up my arse, if I'll be truthful about it. And so I continued taking this crap, you know, a bit of smack come into it, but where the finances there, I thought I've got all the joys in life and I can have drugs, you know. And I remember some guy, I ended up getting scored off of one day, or I can't remember, but I ended up being in his company. He went, "Dave," he said, "I used to have everything." He went, "Nah," and this kid looked like, he did look like a dosser, right? And he went, "This is where I am today." He said, "I've lost everything." And I remember thinking, "Do you think I could be some type of cunt like you? Do you think I would lose everything and a poxy bit of crack or smack?" And anyway, and I always remember what he said that, because as time progressed, you know, I was missing from indoors on multiple days, or even going up to a week or two. And, you know, I mean, one particular time I remember, you know, I've shared about this a few times, that I was out for about 10 days and I was just smashing it hardcore, and went home just to probably recoup, shower, shave, new clothes, back out on again. And I took my, I had a pair of Timberlands on, you know, and I remember I took them off, and as I took my socks off, my right toenails come off in the socks where my feet have sweated for so fucking long, and I've had them on for like 10 days. You know, I didn't think to myself at the time, "What the fuck am I doing to myself?" I thought, "I ain't wearing them fucking Timberlands again." You know, the insanity was just on me, you know, and my wife and my younger daughter sometimes used to virtually be crying, going, "Don't go out the door, please, because you know you're going to go and use. And I go, "No, I ain't. I'm going out on a bit of fucking business, you know." And I knew I just could not go out that door and use. The love I had for my daughter, the love I had for my wife, and I did love them. I knew I loved them in my heart, and I didn't ever want to be with anyone else. But I had to get out that door, and before I knew it, as soon as the door closed, I'd be back out there, having a bit of crack, bit of smack, and the same thing happening all again. And then, you know, fast forward in the tape here a bit, my wife threatened me with divorce, I ended up getting divorced. You know, my family started closing doors on me, but you know, I didn't think, "What am I doing?" I just thought, "Well, fuck you, fuck them." The friends I used to work with said, "Dave, you're being a little bit unreliable here, mate, and you know, we don't know if we can trust you today." And I thought, "You can't trust me, you cunt, you know what I mean?" I said, "Well, fuck you and all, you know what I mean? Don't need you, I've got a big bag of money, I'm sweet." You know, but that big bag of money, you know, probably lasted about 18 months. I just dined it out, probably lost a lot, and it got had over for bits and etc., etc. You know, and the high life partying of crack soon went, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I didn't have the pattern up to do it 24/7 in fucking hotels and penthouses, all that shit. And also, I'm going in and out of crack houses, and, you know, I'm slowly losing more respect and more dignity and more support as time goes on. I'm coming in, went in and out of prison on a couple of little other smaller sentences, smaller compared to the one I'd done, but that was still mounted up to years. And I lost most of my 20s and most of my 30s in prisons. I tried a few treatment centres, but as soon as I got in there and got a little bit clean myself, we were kicked back in. And I just think, fuck, don't try and tell me what to do. I'm double sensible, I've got a good life outside. You know, that was the delusion I was under, because I didn't have a life out there. You know, I had nothing. You know, so I just had to come right forward again, you know. And then, you know, after losing everything and everyone and being very isolated, I finally come into the rooms. And I was so desperate this time round to find recovery that I thought, well, I ain't just putting the drugs down, it's about that willingness to change. You know, so I followed some suggestions this time, you know, got into regular attendance at meetings, and started doing service straight away, got myself a sponsor, down through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, and my behaviour started changing. I started seeing myself for how fucking all my defects of character coming out. You know, and as I've been going along, this has all started changing for me. You know, instead of being a criminal, which I never thought I could change, you know, I now work for a living. I've got a balanced relationship. I've got my kids back in my life. My mum used to hold her handbag when I come in her house. Now I've got a spare set of keys for her house. You know, there's been some massive changes in my life. And, you know, sometimes it sort of amazes me what I have got today. You know, the very simple things. But, you know, I don't need that materialistic stuff no more. So all that's done is it's took me to a lot of pain. Today, you know, I survive, got a dinner on the table, got a family, got a nice home, got a dog I can go to the park with, go to work, you know, go pop a couple of sessions at the gym. And, you know, I'm content with that. You know, if I had a bit more, I wouldn't refuse it. But, you know, what I have got, I'm really grateful for today. You know, recovery's given me a life which I never thought I could have. You know, I can really sort of be myself today. I look in this room today and I just feel like I'm part of a fellowship here. Where before I'd always think I was different, you know, and I've had to go through a lot of pain to realise I ain't, you know, nothing special, nothing less and nothing more than. I'm just, you know, a person trying to find a bit of humility, trying to find a new way to live. And I do believe in my heart, you know, with the faith that I have today, and a power greater than myself, that I'm doing that on a daily basis. And that's just by doing the readings and the prayers first thing in the morning. You know, I wake up in the morning, I look up and I'm free today. And I don't just mean freedom from prisons or institutions. I've got peace of mind, you know, and I've got them choices to walk in and out of parks, go to a meeting, go to work. And you know what? I love every day now. I love every minute of every day. I ain't got consequences in my life, and I ain't got that fear of losing what I've got, you know, because I've lost it and got it and lost it and got it so many times. Today, since I've cleaned up, I really believe I'm getting something, keeping hold of something, and building on something. You know, it's life on life terms, and recovery's given me that ability to live life on life terms, because life on day's terms weren't fucking nice, you know, and I really tried to wangle it every way possible to be on my terms and end happily, and it never did. You know, today my life's happy, and I'm very, very content with life. You know, I've got a lot more than I ever believed possible, and the most loving thing I've ever done for myself personally is work through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. It's really given me a sort of understanding of myself and a little bit of humility. And to promptly admit when I'm wrong, because I could never find the strength to admit when I was wrong. You know, and step three really helped me, for me personally, to go on that God's will and not Dave's will. You know, I've got, you know, quite a few examples of where I really believe God's been with me and pulled me through, you know. If I've quickly got time to tell you, I had a warrant found out for a third party after being about a year clean. Cut a long story short, I never ever would have gone through with something like that, but I had to drive down to another city from when I last relapsed, hand myself in for an unknown crime. Just wasn't right, honest. All I took was me a basic text, and instead of a parcel up my arse, you know what I'm saying? And they apologised for putting me in the cells for a little while, and when I actually went to Crown Court, he said, if you weren't doing what you was doing today, you'd have got a few years in prison. You know, I had a lot of fear around it, but I had faith in you know, the program I work today, and I had trust that no matter what happens, I don't need to use it. I ended up working that double sweep, and I just got, you know, 12-month probation straight. You know, and I stopped getting, really good reports from the changes I've made. You know, and but I actually acknowledge that today. I know I've really made some big changes, and for me it's been the behaviours. Putting down the drugs was the very beginning of my journey to have that willingness to change, and I really believe I've done that today. And leave it there.
Yeah,
I'll leave it there. Thank you.